Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Tuesday, May 10th. If you struggle with knowing how to pray for others, today's podcast can help. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1 and get scriptural guidance for praying with impact.
If somebody says to me, "Pastor, how can I pray for you?" I have an exact answer. And it's an answer I want you to consider this morning. It's an answer I want you to consider for yourself, because it is a prayer. Two things are true about it. Number one, you do not have to ask if it's the will of God. And secondly, you can pray it with absolute confidence. And so oftentimes we say, almost like magic, "If it be thy will, Lord, if you'll do this, if it be thy will." There's something that's very clear in the Bible that's the will of God. And so I want you to think about this prayer seriously, because if somebody prays this prayer for you, it's going to make a difference in your life. If you pray on a couple of conditions we'll mention later for somebody else, it's going to make a difference in their life. So I want you to turn to the first chapter of Colossians. And I want us to read a few verses here. Paul was in Ephesus about 3 years and preaching the gospel. And one of his converts that he mentions here was Epaphras, and he went to Colossae and probably began preaching there. And Paul didn't know them personally. And so he writes this epistle, and here's what he says in verse 7. "Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you'll walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." You may think, "Well, now, how in the world is that prayer going to affect anybody that I know?" So I want us to look at it, because, yes, it will. If somebody asks me, "Well, Pastor, what can I pray for you?" Here's what I say. Pray Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 14. Watch this carefully. It doesn't make any difference what's going on in your life. That prayer will fit your life. So I want you to think about your children, moms and dads. I want you to think about your grandchildren. And think about your friends. And think about, most of all, somebody praying this prayer for you. It'll impact your life. So let's look at these verses for a few moments. Here's what he says. "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that," number one, watch this, "ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Now, it's always right to pray that somebody would know the will of God for their life. And I tell you, somebody says, how do you want me to pray for you? I just say, look at Colossians 1, verses 9 through 14. So watch what he says. He says, "with all spiritual wisdom and understanding." And until we understand the will of God and know His will for our life, then we're still floundering. You don't want to just pray to make somebody feel good. You want to impact their life. And impact means change. And so you have the power, the privilege, the awesome opportunity of doing that. Because the truth is, we all want to know the will of the Father for our life, whether we are 60 or whether you're 6. Then notice the second part. He says, "to be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord." Well, what is that? What you're saying is, you want that person to walk in a way, in a manner that is worthy of, that is consistent with His life. Now, that doesn't mean that you're walking up down the roads preaching the gospel, but it means His character, who He was and who He is in our life. Walking in a manner that is pleasing to Him. Bearing fruit in every good work. Listen to that. Bearing fruit in every good work, which simply means what? That you live a life that is wisely invested. You don't waste it. Bearing fruit in every good work. That is, our life is not a waste, but it makes a contribution. So ask yourself the question, in what way is your life making a contribution? What are you saying to your sons and your daughters about their life and God's will for their life and how you believe that they have something to contribute, something to give? Not something, in other words, so oftentimes kids go to school, they want a job, how they can make the most money. But I heard a wonderful testimony, one of our staff members, a little while ago, when I said, where did you go to college? She told me where she went to school. And I said, what did you major in? She said, well, I wanted to serve the Lord. And where she went to school, they didn't have any serve the Lord business. And so she majored in social work. She said, that's the closest thing I could get to ministry. And then when she got out of school, of course, she began to serve the Lord. You know what? She had godly parents. They began to teach her to invest her life in something was worthwhile and something that has eternal value. And so ask yourself the question, in what way are you bearing fruit that has a lasting value to it? I would hate to think that I live my life and the only thing I want to do is make enough money to have a good time and then one of these days die. I'll tell you how those people die. They end up dying this way, saying, if I'd have listened to that, if I'd have listened to him, if I'd have listened to her, if I'd have. What a terrible way to spend one's life and end up in the only thing you have primarily regrets, because you see, money's not going to keep you a minute longer. Your friends, they can't keep you. When God calls us home, there's nothing we can do to stay here one second. The one thing you don't want to do is end up saying, if I'd have. And how many people die full of regrets? When, listen, you could die with a life that has borne fruit, listen, in such a way, pleasing the Lord in every way, yearning in your heart for God, desiring to be what He wants you to be, increasing, listen, and He says, increasing in the knowledge of God. Where are you going to learn that? In a Christian private school, you'll learn some, but in most public schools, you're not going to learn any. There's some wonderful public school teachers, but they're not allowed to talk about the Lord. Listen to me. If you don't do it at home, forget it. And if you don't go to church where somebody teaches the Word of God and believes the Word of God, and I'll say this, and I say it lovingly but very strongly, you go to church, I don't care where it is, what denomination it is, and the pastor talks about some of the Scripture being true and some not, get out. Here's what you're doing. You're teaching your children that the Word of God is not all true, and therefore, why should they grow up believing it? Why should they grow up wanting to be a Christian? Why should they grow up wanting to follow God? Why should they grow up believing and trusting God when they have been told that part of it's true and part of it is not true, and therefore don't get too serious about all that religious stuff? And if you don't think that happens in many families, it happens everywhere. It's very important. We assume the responsibility of teaching our children, listen, a desire for God. Now, how do you do that? This is how you don't do it. If you go to church, go home, close the Bible till next week. Here's what that says to kids. It says to kids, well, you know what? Yeah, I have a Bible. In fact, they gave me a Bible in Sunday school a long time ago, and I do have a Bible, and I take it with me to church. Now, I know most of you read your Bible every single day. Amen?
Amen?
Good. The best way to teach your children to have a desire for knowledge of God is to see you reading this book and to read it with them. You say, well, they don't understand. You don't know how much they understand. And I remember, now, most of us grew up with the King James Version. And sometimes I'm looking at the New American Standard, and out of my mouth comes the King James, because that's where I grew up. But when my kids said to me, Dad, we don't understand this, I bought them a copy of the Living Bible translation, both of them. I never had to ask them to read the Bible again, because they understood it better than they did King James. Whatever it takes to help your children to understand the Word of God. And the only reason they're going to have a desire for the knowledge of God is because you do. And secondly, not only do you have a knowledge of the Word of God, but you got to talk about it. You got to talk about what you've learned. Not just here's what the pastor said of this, but here's what we're learning. And when children grow up in a family where they talk about the Lord, and I can't even imagine any day in any family that the Lord's name shouldn't come up about something. If you can live a full day and watch TV and read the newspaper and the magazines and your friends and talk on the phone and so forth and never mention Jesus, there's something wrong. We are followers of Him. Tell me anything any more important than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing so important as that. Children need to be, listen, and here's what happens. I can graphically show you what happens when you start praying for them early in life. They come up in life, and little by little, as you pray for them and you give them guidance and direction for life, you bend their heart and their life toward God because they hear the truth over and over and over again. Now, there are three things that are essential for that. Number one, you've got to read and study the Word of God. You've got to read the Word of God. And secondly, you've got to apply it to your life. And thirdly, which most people forget, then you observe what happened as a result of my obedience. Now, I can say this confident. Any Sunday you come to church here, and many other churches too, you ought to have enough notes that when you go home, you can talk to your kids about them. What did you think about so-and-so? Let them talk. It doesn't make any, listen, don't say, that's wrong. Just let them talk. Because what you need to find out is what are they thinking? Watch this. Because they see and hear something that God has impressed in their little heart is very important. But you see, you know better. You have the privilege of taking it home and saying, well, let's think about this. Just in today's message, you could say to them, what would you think about me praying this for you every day? Would you want me to pray that for you every day? Your kids are going to say, sure, I do. And if they're teenagers, they may say, oh, well, I don't know about it. But you say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to pray for you every day anyway, so watch out. You need to drill that into your children's hearts and minds. Because, listen, you're forming their minds in some way. So why not gear them and direct them? Listen, growing in the knowledge of God. And I would ask you, do you feel like that you're growing in the knowledge of God? Listen, a stagnant Christian is backslidden. If you're not growing, you're going backwards. You say, how do I know whether I'm growing or not? Whether you're changing or not. Because, listen, there ought to be something in all of our lives. And this week, I picked up a book that I've had for years and years and years, and I just read the introduction. I got so blessed. I got on my face for about a half an hour. I thought, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for showing me that. How could I have missed that? I may have gotten it then, but maybe I forgot it. Whatever it was worth me reading again. It was just about five pages. But it sent me straight to my knees. Whenever you think you've heard enough and learned enough, you're backslidden. How do you ever possibly fathom all of God's knowledge about Himself? And what does He want us? He wants us to know who He is and why He operates the way He does and how He thinks and why He thinks that. In other words, God is so willing to reveal Himself. He wants to reveal Himself. In fact, that's why Jesus came, to give us the best view of who God is and what He's like. And He says, listen, I'm praying that you will increase in your knowledge of God. And then watch this. Then He says, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. That is, praying for that person to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. He sent Him to indwell you and me in order that we might be able to live a godly life. That is, we can't live a godly life apart from the Holy Spirit. We can't do it. That's why He said to them, sit down in the city of Jerusalem, tarry ye here, He says, until you have been filled with the Spirit of God. When you were saved, the Spirit of God came into your life. Now, once in a while, some parent will say, well, you know what? I don't have much education, and I can't really teach my kids too much. Listen, you're teaching them whether you plan it or not. You're teaching them by the way you live, by what you say, by what you have, how you pray, how you, or whether you don't pray. In other words, you are teaching them. And so He says, strengthened with all power to His glorious might. That is, the awesome supernatural power of God. praying for that to operate in the life of your children. You say, well, how's that going to work? Here's how it's going to work. You're praying that the Spirit of God will warn them about temptation, warn them about the wrong friends, strengthen them to say no when they need to say no, enable them to be able to do their best when they're required to do something in school. They don't have to cheat. They study. In other words, you can impress and impact that child's life in so many ways. But the truth is, you can do it for another adult who's going through some difficulty, hardship, pain, or maybe they have some job and they don't do very well at it. And you can pray for God to begin to enable them to work in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a life-transforming prayer. It is an awesome, impacting prayer. And then the last thing he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Look at this. He says, I'm praying that you would live in such a way that you would joyously give thanks to the Father. What are you saying? I'm praying for you that you'll have joy in your life, that you'll have happiness in your life, that you'll have peace in your life. Because look what God has done for you. And you see, when a person begins to understand what God has really done in their life, really begin to grasp that, you're going to be thankful. There is going to be a joy in your heart you cannot explain. Notice what he says. He says he's qualified us. He's transferred us. He's delivered us. He's redeemed us. He's saved us. And praying for somebody in that light, that God would do that in their life. Is God going to answer that prayer? Yes, he is. Why? Because he's committed to it. Here's what he said. 1 John chapter 5. I'll say it again. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. This prayer is the will of God for every single person. So I don't have to ask if it's your will. Now, you want to impact somebody else's life? This is where to do it. But let me remind you of something. Two conditions. Number one, a clean heart. In that 66th Psalm, here's what he says. If I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. To regard it means I hold on to it. I know it's there. I practice it. I'm ignoring God about the whole issue. I'm allowing sin in my life. He says, I'm not going to hear you. And secondly, I've got to believe him. So here's the issue. Do you value the person that you're praying for enough to live a godly life so God will hear you? And secondly, do you believe the Word of God that what he says he will do? If those two things are true, there's no estimation of the kind of impact you can have in somebody else's life. Do you value your own life enough to pray that prayer for yourself? God, I want to know your will. I want to walk in a way that's pleasing to you and honorable to you and all the rest of those things. Do I value it enough to keep my heart clean and my faith in him? Father, we pray the Holy Spirit will speak to every person who hears this message and remind them of what an awesome opportunity they have to impact the smallest child or the eldest person. Thank you for the awesome privilege of prayer. Thank you for those who've prayed for us all these years. And I pray the Holy Spirit will sink this so deep that not a parent who hears it could even think about going to sleep at night without praying this prayer for their children. Is my plea to you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to part two of Praying with Impact. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or InTouch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of InTouch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.